Hello and welcome to the Upgrade School Marketing Podcast, the podcast for busy school marketers. Angie, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Matt. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I'm excited to be back. It's a little chilly as we're recording this now. We're into February and winter is hitting here in Waltham, Massachusetts, where I am. How are you doing?
Doing great. I'm not far from you, so it is definitely chilly here as well in Central Mass. But things are going great. And I know it's a busy time for school marketers. It always is. But we're approaching, you know, application deadlines and what a lot of schools refer to as the yield phase of their marketing. So I'm really excited about today's podcast. We have five enrollment management, admission, and marketing professionals, panel style, who are going to talk all about yield from videos to email marketing and beyond. We've got a jam-packed episode for you guys today.
Yeah, and I would say that, in the circles I'm in and talking with marketing communications people and admissions, enrollment, both within Chapel Hill and outside, this is the biggest one, whether it is retention of students, whether it's the recruitment of new students, and how once people come in, how are you engaging them? How are you standing out? And how are you letting them feel that they're a part of your community and this is a place where they want to be? I think this is something that has been a big focus for schools and is going to continue to grow. And we have a great group that has a great, a bunch of insight on all of this and some really great tactical things that all schools can try and can add to their yield campaigns to help connect with families. So let's jump into the talk. All right, hello and welcome everybody. We're so excited. We have Alex, James, Lakia, Luke, and Stacy here joining us. We're talking all about yield. And I just wanted to jump right into it and let's go around and everybody just give a quick introduction. Tell us about where you're coming from today.
Hey, I'm Alex Talicious. I'm the Director of Enrollment Management at the St. Andrews School down here in sunny Boca Raton, Florida. We're pre-K through grade 12 with a boarding school.
I'm James Lane. I'm the Director of Marketing and Communications at the Orchard School. We're in Indianapolis. We're preschool through eighth grade.
Hello, everyone. My name is Lakia Newton. I am the Director of Marketing at King School in Stamford, Connecticut. We are pre-K through grade 12 co-ed day school.
Hi, everyone. I'm Luke Haywood. I'm the Director of Enrollment Management at the Stony Brook School, a day and boarding school, grades 7 to 12 in Long Island, New York.
I'm Stacey Jagodowski, Director of Strategic Marketing and Communications at Tabor Academy in Marion, Massachusetts. We are grades 9 through 12. We're known as the School by the Sea. We're boarding and day.
Wonderful. Thank you guys so much for being here today. We're really excited to dive into this conversation with you all. So we'll just start off, you know, talking about yield in general for schools. I mean, where does that process start for you? I'd love to hear a little bit about, you know, when you guys think about yield, when you're jumping in to sort of strategize, is it at the application stage, as soon as they're accepted? I'd love to hear from you guys about what that process sort of means to you.
So I've been thinking about this a little bit. I think I've recently been sort of working on hospitality, and I think that for yield, it really starts with the very first inquiry, the very first time a family connects with a school. Deb Wilson from NIS, I heard her speak this summer, and she had said, she shared some data, and the data is that the average 30% of families that are looking at schools spend 5 years in that process before they apply. The average is about 18 months. So if you think about it, you know, you have all of that time to get them connected and to think about yield early on, because once they apply, you should try to hope at least that they will, that your school will be their first choice.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So that process starts at the inquiry. Luke?
I would say immediately when I think about yield, I think about the word ROI, return on investment. So if we trace everything back to its start, it's got to be the investment. It's the entire journey from the moment they search or they go to your website or they check out your profile or they come on a tour, wherever they begin, it's really about capturing their attention. It's about the customer experience. It's about the individualized sort of like responsiveness, is the emotional connection. So I think yield is all about everything that we do to differentiate and distinct, bring value and really give them a sense of, hey, I could see myself here.
Gotcha. So yield for you is really even before that inquiry stage, right? It's the very beginning. Anytime you start to invest in that school marketing visibility and presence, that's that moment when you're really looking at that full cycle. Great. Does anybody else have any other thoughts on that? I know we've got a lot of questions to get through. All right.
I could. I mean, I think it also starts way before the inquiry. Like personally, I feel like it's finding a like a partner in the digital marketing sphere because that's where they're going to probably start searching. So the layout of how they show up to admissions, and then our admissions team believes it starts at inquiry. But for me, it's all the work to get them to the admissions team.
I would even say, if we're gonna talk about everything that's involved, right? It's are your current families happy and spreading the word, right? And allowing people to have a great view of your reputation already so that when they are starting to research or learning about independent schools as a whole, you're coming up, right? Your name is in the mix.
And I want to follow up too with something that Luke had just mentioned with wanting people to be able to see themselves at a school. And I know this is an interesting group because we have students from preschool to seniors in high
Post-grad.
school, post and post grad. So it's a really wide mix. So I'm really interested to hear from this group. One is that, students have become more and more decision makers in this process. You hear from people who have been this in a long time, like for a while, that that's been a big shift. It used to not be maybe so much, and now students have a big or the full say in at least the school that they choose to go to. So I'm interested to see, what are the things that you're doing tactically to connect directly to the student to make them feel that you're saying, Luke, like to make them feel there and to help persuade them to say this is the place for you.
It's been an interesting shift, I have to say. And when I was working in admissions about 15 years ago, it was mostly the parents. The students had a little bit of a say in it, but now it's mostly the students have a big say. The parents obviously are the ones paying the bills, so they do have a say, but the students have a much bigger role in making that final decision. The parents just have to validate that decision. So we've been working more on balancing the student-focused content with the parents' focused content. And what I found is that if I write to the student, if I build content to the student, the parents can put themselves in that student role. The students cannot put themselves in that parent role. So obviously, there is some content that we want to direct right to the parents, like the financial aid stuff. Obviously, the students aren't really going to focus on that. They don't care about that a whole lot. I mean, they care, but not in the sense of like, I'm going to sit down and read a blog about financial aid. The parents are the ones who are going to consume that content. So we'll write to the parent for that. But we're going to spend more of our time developing content for the students because the parents can put themselves in those shoes. So we'll focus on that. And then the parent reassurance, that's where we're going to focus on the parent-to-parent outreach, get those parent volunteers involved, really focus on our admission reps, getting that one-to-one outreach to the parents. And then the student-led initiatives have been a really big part of us reaching out to the students. We get our student tour guides leading the tours. We get the student tour guides reaching out to the students. We get our coaches reaching out to the students. Teachers reaching out to the students. So we really have this e effort of people with the personal contact, in addition to that content that we're developing that is student oriented.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think that was perfectly said.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, but in essence, we do both, but the priority is always the student for the same reason that Stacy mentioned, that the student has never been a parent, but the parent could see themselves as a student and are
Exactly.
passionate about their child. So if they see that their child, in the form of everything that we present, is happy and engaged and finding amazing offerings and having great outcomes. I think they're a lot more easy to buy in.
Yeah. James, do you have a different experience being a preschool through grade 8 versus Stony Brook and Tabor being high schools?
I mean, you'd be surprised, or maybe not surprised, but we hear as low as like first grade. I mean, they're part of the decision process. They go through all the work. Like Stacy said, we try to we try to make content so they're sitting there together with their guardian parent. You know, it sells it right there. But then they got to come here, and they want their, you know, they want the child to come here to see if this is what they want. As low as like, I mean, we've heard that in preschool. Like, I think they want, it's a whole system together. So we've actually, I've started letting students write content for all of our online pieces, even ads. Just trying to give them a voice. So, you know, like Luke said, you want to see yourself there. Well, if you come, you know, we like to try to make it feel like if you come to our school, your voice is honored and heard. So we have a whole section in the newsletter for them. They do a lot of student takeovers. I don't go to the elementary school for student takeovers. We start that in like fifth, sixth grade, middle school. But yeah, it starts early, and they're definitely a part of the process.
Wow, that's fascinating. Lakia.
I would also say I agree with what everyone has said. One thing that we've also done, which I think makes a huge difference, is we sort of know the feeder schools in our area, whether that's for high school or for middle school, right? But to be able to kind of pair that student up with someone who came from the school that they came from and give them a really personalized, explanation of what's different, right, and what's better, and that's whether they're coming from another independent school or public school or from whatever town, they can compare it really easily and give that kind of one-on-one explanation, and that has also worked really well for us.
Right.
I think also, as Lakey was saying, as a pre-K through grade 12 school and for St. Andrews with a boarding program as well, the segmentation of messaging is always challenging, right? And so whether it's, you know, through a visit program, a student tour guide program, or even assessments, when little ones come with their parents for assessments, you know, you're constantly thinking about your messaging to each segment of your population that you're trying to sell. And I mean, again, it goes back to the hospitality, I think, and really, you know, making sure that every step of the way, whether it's pre-inquiry, whether it's a person you met at a fair that's pregnant versus, you know, a third grade, et cetera, all of that matters.
It gives families a preview of what the school experience is too. So if the process that they're going through with all of you is clear and inspiring, like they're getting a sense of what being a part of that is. So those are all really great. Thank you.
Yeah, and that's a great segue into our next question. I can't wait to hear from all of you on this. I'd love to hear a little bit about your Yield campaign specifically, starting from the application stage through to enrollment. And so we'll have Matt kick us off on that one.
So Yield campaigns, I mean, we work around a mixture of events. So once application, if we're starting at the application stage, you know, we do a lot before that. We do a lot to email parents. We do a lot with the student takeovers. One of our favorite thing, actually, I did want to share this today too, is we kind of stole it from like the NFL of the mic'd up audio. We got this really just a pretty inexpensive little wireless mic. And one of the things we've done is at a couple school events, we'll put a mic on someone. So we did it for move-in day. We did it for one of our Spanish Heritage days, Hispanic Heritage Month. And we'll just mic up students and follow them around. And what we end up getting is it's kids being relaxed and joking with each other. And you put in a mixture of silly stuff and all of that. So, those are some of the things we do to try to, again, back to that, like, how do you get students to sort of see themselves there? But then after that, it's a lot of, you know, planned campaigns where we have parent outreach to prospective parents. We have email campaigns that all include different videos on different aspects of what's going on. And then we do events where we bring people back for revisit days. We have a parent, specific event, but we're really trying to get people back. And all of those events have students, current parents, sometimes trustees, where they're able to talk, get to know people, get to see themselves there. And that's really where we hear from the parents to say, like, oh, I felt the connection. I felt like I was already a part of this school. So that's what we're really doing there.
We're doing similar things, creating that authentic content that is going to resonate with the students. And we involve our students in creating that content. Students are doing the videos, students are in the videos, students are writing the videos, they're editing, they're doing everything, and they're helping us get it ready for social. So we started last year, we're continuing this year, two different series of videos that will start coming out soon. Seawolves in Seven. So we have like seven questions and seven videos that will come out. We are the Seawolves. Seawolves are another name for killer whales, orcas. Some people don't know that, but so then we do Seawolves on the Street, where we just drive around in one of the golf carts, pick students up, and drive them to their classes around campus and ask them questions on the way. And it's been a fun way to just kind of connect with students, find out some things about what they love about the school, and give them a lift, especially if they have to get across campus and cross the street and to our furthest building, which is the MANS, or Marine and Nautical Science Center. It also gives students a look at our campus as we drive around. So that's been fun. And then, when we do the actual yield, like here you've been accepted, we try to theme those every year. And so we come up with like a different theme. So during COVID, we had like we figured everyone's home, they're watching videos. So we created a Netflix style video repository online. We sent them popcorn, we sent them candy, we sent them socks, kind of made like a video experience for them. And we called it like the red carpet experience. And then we've also had like another movie themed experience where we made like a Jaws like poster with the seawolf, because we're the seawolves. We had like the seawolf coming up to eat our schooner, because we have a big giant schooner, 115 foot schooner. So we've tried to come up with all different themes every year. Last year was Passport to Tabor, and we packed the box that they get with all of the things that you would need to come to campus. And this year, it's a surprise what it's going to be. So
That's so
Yeah,
cool.
I like the themed ideas. I'm going to steal that from you, Stacey.
Go for it.
With respect to an event, so a big thing for us is our admitted student reception. We just had that this Tuesday for our early round. We do it again for our standard round. That has been tremendously successful in bringing domestic families back on campus for a different experience than the open house or a tour or a shadow day, right? So be really intentional about, the opportunities they get to get more information, but to feel more connected through hearing from having a time to mingle, having a time to hear from key leaders on campus, having a time for the students to break out and be with students and really hear from them and do some fun activities while at the same time creating conversation and making sure that they have their questions answered.
Nice. Lakia.
I totally agree and are doing very similar things to both of you, Stacey and Luke. I think my two favorite things, and I think our strongest things that we do, is our revisit days. We actually split them by division and parents versus students. So everything is separate. So we have the whole morning is dedicated to just that lower school student experience that morning. And that whole division is kind of reorganized to make that experience great for them. And then same thing with the parents. Everyone is there for this exact, moment, and it's all planned out. And then the second thing is we try to balance the kind of student created, organic, fun social media videos with like also a very professional, well organized, well planned out, well filmed acceptance video. And over the last couple of years, we've really tried to balance the messaging on it to be definitely something that a parent wants to hear, but also have something the student wants to hear, and have it also have a fun aspect and something that's relatable. And we find like a lot of pride in creating that moment. And allowing our families to kind of hear that. And then I would just add one thing that is tricky, and it kind of goes back to the last question about the students having a say. And I want to actually kind of ask this. We don't collect student email addresses, so or cell phone numbers, things like that. We've been talking about if that's something we feel like we need to do to really connect with the students. But right now, we've been really mess or addressing the students within the parents' emails and things like that. But just curious too if anyone is literally directly connecting with the students in that way.
We try to. A lot of parents will give us the student emails, will give us their emails as the student emails, but in order to log into our portal, you need unique emails. And so we have to have, everybody needs a unique one. Sometimes we end up with a parent one and for a student one, but we are asking for them, yeah.
We're the same too. We email the ones we do get. Again, sometimes yeah, it's duplicates of the parents, or but for the ones we do have, and we always, anything we send, it's usually included along with the parents as well, so they'll both get that together.
Alex, did you have anything you wanted to add?
Yeah, I guess I was thinking about so we kind of, maybe this is a personal thing. I've had two children that have gone to boarding schools and then off to college, et cetera. So having done the sort of yield events thing from years in the admissions world, as well as, you know, as a parent, I think, you know, going back to sort of the hospitality along the way, if you've got, you know, the opportunity to solidify decisions earlier on, sometimes, and I'm going to probably be a little controversial in saying this, sometimes it can be gimmicky at the end to come up with these big sort of surprise packages. So I think, right, knowing your market, and this is also probably a Florida thing, because being again a K through 12 school, a pre-K through grade 12 school with boarding, in our market, there are other schools, and knowing what their value propositions are is really important, I think, when you do that yield, when you think about yield. So while we do the events and we do all of those things that everyone's talking about, one thing we moved away from was sending boxes of swag and things like that. And we just kind of, last year, especially for our boarders, sent out a very lovely sort of engraved type card just to say congratulations. And it was elegant. And the point was to kind of elevate ourselves from our competition in the area. So just something to think about, you know, in terms of how what other schools are doing too, and how you can make yourself really resonate with the students that you want to be sure you yield.
Yeah, so that competitor research is an important element there in coming up with that. That's interesting.
We talked about, do we move away from doing the boxes? And when we interviewed the students that are at our school, they were like, we loved them. Don't get rid of them. But what we have done is moved away from doing lots of little things in the box. They want something that's meaningful. And but they do love stickers. They said, do not get rid of stickers. We want stickers. We want to put them on our laptops. We want to put them on our water bottles. They want to put them on our notebooks. Like, do not get rid of the stickers. But they wanted very specific things. And so we listened to our students, and we've changed up how we're doing boxes this year.
Great. And that actually exactly rolls into what I was looking to talk to is, are there things that you hear from students and families that were like, wow, that was a really cool thing that you did? You know, it's always, I heard recently from one of our students that came in, just naturally talking to them, was that it was a student takeover. They're like, I was looking at a lot of different schools, and they're like, I actually saw an Instagram takeover from a student, and that was the thing. Like, that was like, I saw that, and they looked like they were real kids having a good time. It looked like a great school. And that looked like, that is what told me that that's the place I wanted to be. So I wanted to throw that out there. Are there things that you hear, you know, there's obviously the big events and there's those things, but are there things within there that you hear back from people that that's what made the shift?
The student created content is where it's
Yeah.
at. Like, they love to see the student created content, and they want to know it's student created content. That's what they love. They love to also see, as much as sometimes it pains me, the profiles that are run by the students, the social media profiles that are run by the students, because I love when they're run well and the students are creating great content, but it's the years that, like, they just kind of drop and fall off the face of the earth, and then we lose the credentials, and then we have to start over, and like, it drives me crazy when we can't run them well. But when they're run really well, they work really well for the school, and people love them. The feedback is great. The other thing is celebrity cameos. If you can get a celeb to show up for you, they absolutely love that. You know, we had Bill Belichick on campus, and we had Gronk do a video for us, and people were like, "Oh my God, that's amazing!" So, you know, can't do that all the time, but every once in a while, you can get those celebrity cameos, and people are like, "That's amazing." But the student generated content is really the thing that people are commenting on the most. And students love decks of cards. So if you're looking for a really cheap thing to give away, decks of cards. They loved it. They were like, you need to give this out all the time. And even our alums love it. They are like, just wear those cards. We want those decks of cards.
And
That
do you like you like playing cards? You do like you brand them, like put your do you do like custom ones and you
Custom decks of cards, and they were super cheap for us to produce, and everybody wants them. So like
All right.
that's, and it's intergenerational. Everybody loves it. Like we're going to be ordering thousands of them next year. So yeah, decks of cards.
Great.
I'd say to stay with with what Matt was saying about like, you know, a takeover did it. If I think of in terms of social media, I'm also a photographer, so I get that like not everyone can walk around the school and do that, but I pride myself pretty hard on not staging a single thing. So whatever is happening on that day, and I also don't pre-plan, which is probably not good, but I get the post that day and I post it that day. So I feel like the best compliments I hear, and I do hear it a lot, so that's why I keep doing it, is they saw it on social or whether I put it on the website, is parents will say they came in and then actually saw it and then they mentioned that they saw it and it was like the other day. So the teacher's able to talk about it right there. So it feels authentic because it is. So for social media, that's been a huge we hear a lot about that. Like I saw it and there and then I came in and I saw it here. And I feel like that has to do with, you know, try to stay away from like the gimmicky, typical posts and just do what is actually happening at the school in the moment. And then in terms of another avenue, it's always our student ambassadors that give tours. That's like the number one thing we hear. It probably because they're like sixth, seventh, and eighth graders, and they're leading adults around. And that's normally what we hear from other schools is like Orchard Kids can talk to anybody. It's kind of scary because they question us all the time. Like that's kind of we instill that in them, so they lead those tours all the way from the start to the end, and then they kind of drop them off at admissions and all that if they need more.
Nice, nice. And I'm curious, how are you guys tracking success? It sounds like there's some anecdotal feedback from parents happening, which is amazing, and students themselves. Of course, enrollment is always a terrific indicator that something's working. But more specifically, how are you tracking the success of things like acceptance packages and social media content and ad campaigns and all of the above? I'd love to hear a little bit about that. Luke?
I would say surveys are always helpful, but I think beyond that, to sort of like feedback, right? People going on a profile of yours somewhere and actually recommending and speaking highly of an event or something that has occurred. Opportunities for engagement. So we've only done like boxes in the last 2 years. So in our box this year, we had an opportunity to have a pennant that said SBS admits, and they take out a picture and send it to us. If I see people engaging and they're liking what we're doing and they're sending us back and then we're posting that on social media, that tells me that there's some connection there. I had two girls send me yesterday on their in the pool, right? In the pool with SBS admits, and I was like, that's so cool, you know, that's amazing. So you know, that's what we try to do. Get the engagement, get the feedback through surveys and other forms.
Stacey, did you have,
Yeah, I'm all about the analytics. So we are in Google Analytics. We're using QR codes and we're tracking the success of our campaigns with analytics. You know, we're watching how much traffic we're getting to our admissions pages. We're watching the conversions into inquiries, the conversions into applicants. And we're really just looking at how everything's performing. You know, we put QR codes into the forms that are the booklets that are going out in the yield campaigns. We're tracking the traffic to the landing pages that we've set up for everything so that we can actually see how many people are clicking, how many people are landing, how many are actually going into the portal to complete the pages. So we're looking at the raw data and really watching it. And one of my favorite things to do is on decision night. So in our consortium of schools, we release at midnight. And so we are up at midnight looking at the website. And I do the real-time data on Google and I watch. It's like parents are logging in and I can just see like the surge of people logging in at midnight. It's awesome. Well, at least midnight on the East Coast, you know, being in boarding school with people across the world. But it's just like a surge of data and it's so cool to watch. But yeah, we're using all of the data to see how we're performing, and then we can kind of like see which pages we need to work on because we need them to go there, or which pages we're like, oh, well, tried it, didn't work. We can stop paying attention to that page, and then, you know, correct from there.
We do that too. That's super exciting. I think looking at the analytics, especially when you start, again, going back to the inquiry, when you're sort of starting to nurture all the way, even to the success of your graduates, right? And so I think when we look at the analytics, you can sort of year over year, but you know, what are your target areas? Where are you yielding kids? You know, how do you then go and build? So you can look back at the ads, you can go back and look at your rate of return on those in different demographic areas, as well as local neighborhoods as well, and sort of see where you want to continue to focus and where you've had your good success. And so I think that's really important too.
Yeah, I want to second the surveying too. That's something that we have added is every event, or if you come for a tour, we've set up an automated email. So the day after your tour, you get a thank you and a 3-question survey. We do the same thing after an open house. We do the same thing after a yield event, like a revisit day. And I would say that we have gotten the most actionable things from where, you know, there's a tour and they're saying, ah, you know, it was great, but I really wish I could have seen this in action. Or that first open house was great, but you know, I didn't get to see inside of the as many classrooms, whatever it is, we're able to that I would say is the thing we've been able to take that and make a change the next day to say, oh, the new tour route is now going through here. And we heard that. So
Love
definitely
it.
on the real-time surveys and going through them with the team weekly and seeing, you know, how is that shifting? What are people saying they love? What are the people saying that they wish they had seen? So, thank you all for that. And as a final question, I just wanted to say, you know, are there any words that you would have for other, we have other admissions people, other marketers watching this here. So, people who are new in the field, people who are new, any advice that you would give them if you were to say, you know, this is my top advice going through the yield as many times as I've gone through it, what would you give to them? What would you say to somebody new in the field here?
Authenticity is where it's at, and personalizing everything. You know, they want that one-to-one outreach. They want things to really matter to them. So segmentation and, you know, really having your admissions reps being able to give them that personal attention is where it's at. You know, the days of let's just bulk email everyone for every step of every way is not it, that's gone. Marketing can kind of deliver the leads to admissions, but then, you know, it's time for the personalization to really come into play.
I think let's not forget about our current families, right? We have the opportunity to yield them again every year. And so attrition, I think, is important. And they're also the best messengers, right, for your prospective families that you're hoping to yield.
I would just
Say for
also
someone
add.
starting out in the role or being in the role, be to connect with the teachers and carve out time every day to be in their classroom, because that's how you get the authentic content. And they're also a partner in that. So if you are at these lessons and it's easier to write about, it's easy also to connect with them and be like, hey, I need help on that, what you were doing. And there's a partnership. So they'll immediately get it back to you and you can get it out quickly. That's all because, you know, what we want to write about are all the amazing things that are happening. It's all done by the teachers. So if you can connect with them and have them be a partnership, that's like crucial in the role to me.
I would add to don't be afraid to try something and track it. I think sometimes there's a lot of opinions about how things have been done because it's that person's personal experience or their group of friends, and having that data behind you can really show what's working, what isn't, and don't be afraid to try some new things. And if it doesn't work, that's okay. At least you kind of know that that doesn't work for your audience, and yeah, be bold.
I love that try and track. I say tell stories, stay student-centered, and connect and respond in a way that makes students feel like they belong there.
Great advice, all of you. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom. Alex, James, Lakia, Luke, Stacy, Always great to talk to you guys. We really appreciate you taking the time today. Wow, what an awesome conversation with those guys. They certainly know their stuff. I learned a ton. So this was a really great conversation to have.
Yep. Now you know, a seawolf is an orca. And I'm going to Google right now some personalized trading cards. And actually, we'll put links to that too. And as an ask to everybody who's listening out there in the marketing and admissions world, if you're doing something that's exciting in this yield or something new that you're trying, something you want to show, if you have a new custom box, something we're doing new this year, some really cool email, video, swag item that you're sending out there, we'd love to see it and love to share it with others. So join in on our LinkedIn page. That's where we post all of our items. That's where we engage with everyone. So go to the LinkedIn for Upgrade School Marketing and share what you're up to this yield. We're really excited to see it. And as always, thank you for listening. I'm Matt Soule.
And I'm Angie Ward. We'll see you next time.